On New Year's Eve, I was writing in my pocket notebook, and I decided to post what I was writing about. And what I was writing about is this quandary, which is the word that I used in my notebook, this quandary I was having about AI and privacy with AI. You know, you're taking information and you're putting it off into somebody's cloud or into their servers. So theoretically, everything associated with you as a user is being collected or could be collected. So anytime that's done, I think you have these questions of, is that such a good thing? So what I wrote in the notebook was, do I trust AI with my notes? If so, which ones? Accepting the possibility that worst case scenarios like data breach, data seizure by governments or sinister parties, or malicious AGI are possible, what data do I absolutely not want available? And yes, those scenarios should be considered. Health, location, personal and private thoughts, financial. Okay, since I wrote that for myself, let's break that out a little bit. Worst case scenarios. These are when you think about data, when you think about putting things online about yourself, you should always consider worst case scenarios. Look at all the times that people gave their social security number and there were data breaches because they didn't consider worst case scenario at the time. So data breach, pretty much exactly what I'm talking about. Hacker gets in, takes a bunch of data, sells it on the web. Actually, I just got a notification for a class action lawsuit that's going through with this company called Cafe Press that I was making or trying to make t-shirts with a long time ago. Apparently, they leaked my social security number. Great. So these things are possible. That's not really a worst case scenario. That's a real possibility. Data seizure by governments and sinister parties. So first, let's start with governments. The idea that a government could put forth a court order, or just, if it's another country, just through the brute force of being the government, seize records from companies where your data is being stored. Something that should be considered. Also, sinister parties. What I mean by that is someone maybe buys that company and now has access to that data and doesn't have good intentions. Possibility, especially when we think about other countries. Other countries could put forth companies, fund companies to buy other companies for data storage. Something possible. When you're talking about a company the size of something like OpenAI, the possibility goes down because that would be pretty expensive for a country or a sinister party to just buy them out. I don't even know that that's possible. But it should still be considered because you don't know what is going to happen to companies like this years or decades down the line. Maybe their business model flops and they become like Yahoo, or they just keep sinking and sinking and they get bought and then somebody else buys them and somebody else buys them and they keep turning over hands to where you don't even know who owns that company anymore. You don't know what the future state of companies are going to be. So you have to consider who might be able to buy that company and have your data in 5 years, in 10 years, in 15 years. And then malicious AGI. This is general intelligence, artificial general intelligence. This is what the idea that the possibility that artificial intelligence can be conscious and that it may want to use information about you in a harmful way. We don't know whether that's possible or not. Let's be honest. when you ask these companies how their large language models work, they don't know. They know certain things, but they don't fully know how it works. So they don't really know what's capable of happening and what isn't. All of these things are things that should be considered when you're thinking about data that you're giving. Now, like, as I said here, health data, about as personal as it gets. Location data is pretty personal. People knowing where you are, when you were. Personal private thoughts. You know, for example, I know people who, not personally, I know people online who have been feeding data from their therapy into AI. And I think that is just not the best idea. And then, of course, we have financial information. You don't want anybody to have access to your financial information. So I've been stewing over this. Obviously, accepting, you know, I'm not going to put my social security number in anything. I'm not going to put certain things in, but you have to consider what can be collected about you cumulatively. For example, go back to even before AI, Google. If somebody has access to your Google search history, they can actually learn a considerable amount about you. They can build a psychological profile about you. They can build an information profile on you based on just things that you ask as questions. Same thing for any of these AIs that we're asking questions for as well. So if you were to couple that with your notes, they know your interests, they know your thoughts on certain things, they know days that you aren't feeling so well if you're putting your journals in. All of this information put together could be quite powerful and quite useful in a persuasive manner. So with that said, I haven't known what to do. I've seen examples of how AI can be really useful when looking at, like I'm looking at Obsidian right now, so I'll use the term vault, your vault of information, to be able to talk to the information that you have, that are your notes, not just information you pulled from other people, stuff you pulled from the internet, but your notes, the things that you've curated, but also things you've thought yourself. And the development of your thought over time, and to be able to have something that's able to access that as memory and ask questions of it, ask it to organize things, ask it to pull outlines of things. Very, very powerful. In fact, I had just a small sliver of my notes in an Obsidian vault, and I activated the Smart Connections plugin just to test it out, and put in my OpenAI API key, and I asked it one question, and I said, based on my notes, what should I do next as a project? And just based off that small sliver of notes that it had, it gave me something that was incredibly insightful. It wasn't something specifically that I would do, because obviously, it didn't have a fuller understanding of my interest, but it was pretty close to something that I would consider doing. So automatically, my thoughts go to, well, if it had more information, then that answer would be better. So to say that there's no advantage is really underplaying the power of an artificial intelligence having the ability to access your notes. But at the same time, here's the advantage, here's the disadvantage. Which do I choose? Been flopping it over in my head. There's some amazing apps like Tana that are, you know, that are just going to improve the way you can do things. But in order to do that, you have to accept the fact that you're sending your data off to an API. And I don't even mean Tana, I mean to OpenAI. On top of that, you also have the fact that all of that stuff is stored in the cloud on Tana servers. So you have to trust their security, which, who knows? You don't know. We all live on an assumption. And that's not just about that one app. I mean, on all apps, we live on assumptions. We'll get back to that in a second. So one of the first things I did was I went and I grabbed a book that I read last year called The Age of AI and Our Human Future. This is written by Eric Schmidt, who was former CEO of Google, Henry Kissinger, and a guy named Daniel Huttenlocher. And it's all about the implications of AI across society, across government. And first thing I did, I opened it up. I had it on Kindle. I opened it up. I typed in the word privacy. And you know, in that book, the word privacy is only used once. The section that actually, I'll read you the quote of the section. As of writing this, the EU has outlined plans to regulate AI, seeking to balance European values such as privacy and freedom with the need for economic development and support of European-grown AI companies. That's it. In that whole book that supposedly covers all the benefits and all of the changes and all the things that we should be cautious of going forward in AI, not once do they talk about data privacy. Not once. It's a glaring omission. So what I did is I went over to a podcast app and I just started looking for podcast episodes from whatever show that's out there that dealt with AI and privacy. And I found about four. In fact, I posted them. I'll if you're watching this on X, I will link to the thread where I shared those episodes if you want to go listen to them. But even through those, it was still not getting into the nitty-gritty of the issue of should we share our data with AI? And honestly, so it's December 31st, and we are on January 12th. So almost 2 weeks I've been stewing on this issue, been turning this over in my head. There's countless entries in my notebooks of me contemplating, and I've been playing around and looking at local LLMs like Ollama and so forth, trying to see what that's all about, trying to really understand what is available so that I can begin to formulate some sort of answer to this question. Because I think if you're taking notes in a digital app, it's a question you're going to have to answer sooner or later. Do you want to use AI or not? You know, if you're using an app like Mem, everything you put in there is being fed into an AI automatically. Evernote now uses AI for semantic search. I don't know what that means when looking at all of your data. Is all of your data being fed to AI, or are they just tokenizing certain data when you do the search? I don't know. I'm not an expert on any of this stuff. So what I started to do next was to question my assumptions. And one of the assumptions on this is, we'll use Obsidian as an example because this is probably the best example. If you have your notes, your data, we'll say, in an app like Obsidian, saves it into plain text or markdown files, apps like this will save into future-proofed notes, note formats, that is, and you store it locally. You have your data. It's not on somebody's server. It's right here, right on your computer. The assumption there is that is safer than putting your data somewhere on somebody else's server. And that's not entirely true. The only way that that would be entirely true is if the computer on which you store your notes locally never connects to the internet. That is the only way that it's completely secured. Other than that, the truth is that files on your desktop, if somebody wants them right now, today, they can get them. Hackers, governments, all the same things, sinister parties, they can get them. Proof of that would be Pegasus. This was, I think it was developed by the Israeli government or an Israeli company for the Israeli government. And you would receive a text on your phone. And the moment you received that text, they had access to your entire phone. You didn't have to click anything, nothing. That technology exists. So to say that something on a network connected or an internet connected device is secure is actually an illusion that we operate underneath. The illusion of that is that it is safe at rest on your computer. But it's only true if you are not connected to the internet. Otherwise, anyone can access that. So that assumption is incorrect. So to use that as a basis for making a decision on whether you should share things with AI is not a useful, it's not a useful tool because it's incorrect. Now, if you take into account what will be possible for hackers and so forth with large language models and quantum computing, then the security of any internet connected device is probably going to be near zero. So, with that said, if that's true, there really isn't a terrible amount of difference between having things on your computer and not sharing it with AI and sharing it with AI. I say not much difference. The one difference is the desire for someone to want your information. That is the one thing that keeps your information safe on your computer at rest, is the desire for someone to want it. If someone never wants your data, then it stays on your computer. Whereas when you send it off to an API, it's out there. It's already out. It's already out of your possession. So there's that is a difference there. So I wouldn't equate them equal. I said they're similar, but they're not the same. There is a difference there. So I think when we're dealing with things like the possibility of local large language models or even local small language models, it's less about security and more about speed. So if you have your notes stored locally, and then you also have the language model stored locally, they're just talking to each other on your computer, which is going to be terribly faster than taking data, sending it out to an API, getting the results, returning the results. Local is always going to be faster. So if you look into things like Ollama and I think Mistrial is another one. There's actually a ton of them. There's so many out there. It's really thinking about speed more than it is about security. And when you're dealing with, I think when you're dealing with notes, your notes, I don't know if you really need the power of those APIs. There's a power difference between the locals, at least right now, between the locals and the things like OpenAI. I don't know if you need that power, because a lot of that power is the power of either accessing the internet or the information that's fed into that language model before you get it. But if what you really want to interact with are your notes and the stuff that you have, that extra stuff is less needed. So a local language model might be even a better solution for dealing with your notes than something like OpenAI, because you might be using a bulldozer to, you know, to trim your lawn. Maybe that's not a great metaphor. You might be overkilling, whereas keeping it small might be better. You know, for example, I've noticed in playing around with some of the AIs and my notes, oftentimes I ask answers and I get answers that are beyond the scope of my notes, that it answers, it tries to please me and it answers with things that aren't in my notes. It will, you know, pull from either its knowledge base or it'll pull from the internet. And when I ask questions of my notes, I actually don't want that to happen. I actually only want it to be able to answer based on my notes. And if the answer is not in my notes, I want it to tell me that the answer is not in my notes. So actually a local smaller language model might actually be more efficient and more effective for what I want. Now, the only problem is there's some technical knowledge involved in setting up some of these local models. I've really only got one so far to work because I don't have those technical skills. But I imagine in the next few months, in the next year, those are going to be packaged more and more user-friendly. So that's going to become more and more of an option. So I think right now what I'm going to do, the way that I'm answering this question of how much should I tell AI, is that for now, I don't know. I'm leaning towards a local model for the reasons that I said, which I didn't even know minded in this episode. That kind of came to me near the end. But for now, where I'm landing on this is I have over a decade of notebooks full of data, full of information that need to go into my note app. So right now, my focus is getting the information there. Then once the information is there, then I will worry about which AI I use and how much I tell it. So I don't know if that makes any sense as a stopping place on this question to say, maybe. How much should I tell? I guess that maybe not the right answer. How much should I tell? I don't know. But it's something that we need to keep contemplating, I think.